Well, it's wonderful to be down here in Franklin. I remember we were chattering away on Facebook and talking about how we possess all things and how we have all things. And Robert was in on the conversation, and somebody says, well, why do you have meetings? And Robert says, because I like to get in the hot tub naked with Gary and Mike. And boy, that just shut it up, and everybody hit LOL, you know? But that was a good way to diffuse the questioning, right? Because it's okay to have questions, but there's a big difference between having a question you truly want an answer to and questioning everything, right? It's a big difference. And we're not here to get together to try to help everyone clear up their mind, okay? And so if we could all respect each other and everyone that's listening, which I'm not saying we're not gonna, but we're not here to have a conversation between each other during these meetings. We're here to listen to the truth of what you are. And so I'm not here, and somebody had asked Robert earlier, you know, what are we affiliated with? And we're not affiliated with anything. We don't, you know, we have some tags, we've got some names, but it's only so you can navigate and find us in this world. That's the only reason. And why do we not want to organize? Why do we not want to form a group? And I'll tell you why. My only interest with you is to help you find yourself. It's not about helping you put me up or put me on a pedestal and people call me a guru and a sage and all that stuff. It doesn't, none of that stuff matters. If you really study and read the spiritual leaders of this world, okay, and I'm going to tell you they're not in the West, okay? They're not in the West. If you listen to those people, they will tell you that a good teacher always says you don't need them. Every good teacher will tell you, you don't need me. And they try to send you on your way. And so, all we're together to do here is try to identify two things. One is separation. And that's the name of the title of this weekend, is exposing the dream of duality. That there's no separation. The second thing that we need to focus on is in what they refer to as specialness. You're not special. No, you do not have a specially marked short bus for you. Now, we are all unique. But as soon as we expand on that, we proclaim we're special. And perfect wisdom does not have partiality at all. There's no partiality at all. There's no one that's better than the other. There's no one that knows more than the other. Just some of us have more layers that might need to be unraveled. And that's all I'm here to do, is to help you unravel the layers of what's keeping us from knowing who we are. Not from forming a group and having somebody sit up. Somebody gave me a little statue of Voodoo. Yeah. I want a bobblehead Buddha, you know? But listen, everyone I've read, that's the reason you've never seen big organized congregations in the East, because none of them believe in it. Not any of them that are worth a hoot believe in any of that stuff. They always meet in small groups. They always are there to be with each other, not to promote a doctrine or a dogma or anything else for you to follow. Okay, now with that said, we are together here. And I'm so glad to see you and to be with you and to see myself and feel myself in you. And as Corey and Robert were singing that song, I could feel myself in you. Now, when does all of this stuff really hit the road? It's when you go out there and a big pile of shit shows up in front of you and it doesn't shake you up. It doesn't mess you up.
That's awesome.
That's when it means something, right? Because that's happening all the time. It doesn't, everybody thinks that stuff's supposed to go away, and that's just bullshit. The only thing that needs to change is the way you're viewing it. And you have within you the ability to absorb all of the appearance realm. You can absorb it. If there's anyone that can, it's this group that can absorb this and realize what you're seeing with your eyes is not real. None of it is real, because as soon as your eyes look at something, it starts to compare. And as soon as it says, is this real or not real, it means it's not reality. Because what are you doing? You're judging whether it's right or wrong. There is no partiality. There is no one. There is no God somewhere looking at you and saying, are you in the right or the wrong place? Ever. There never has been. You cannot change who you are. Nothing that you could do, no matter how horrendous it is, or whatever it is you've done that you have in your memory, can change who you are. And anyone that says any different doesn't know what we're talking about. This has nothing to do with performance. It has nothing to do with works. It has nothing to do whether you get up and your toe aches and you cuss your friend out or your mate or your husband or your wife or your neighbor. It has nothing to do with it. Instantly, you can return to who you are once you recognize that, what I just said to you. It's not about finding forgiveness or doing penance or beating yourself. None of that is real. As soon as your mind gets in line with who you are back where you need to be. And when you realize you can never be in the wrong place, it really helps you. How could you, who is the eternal life and love, ever be in the wrong place when you're it? How could that ever happen? It can't. Only in your mind can you think that way. Only in your mind can you start believing that you could be in the wrong place. It's the only place it can happen. So, their focus is to expose the dream of duality, and there we go. Thank you. Wow, I can hear myself more. Okay, thank you, Corey. You got a great voice. So, if there's two things I want you to think about, if that's all you hear tonight, it's that Jesus, including the sages of Eastern thought, all focused on separation and specialness. By eliminating what we are not so that we can discover who we are. That's all you need to do. It's very, very simple. What makes it so complicated is that we're so attached to this world. And so I want to show you something.
Astronomers in 1996 attempted to do something extraordinary. They pointed the Hubble Space Telescope into a part of the sky that seemed utterly empty, a patch devoid of any planets, stars, and galaxies. This area was close to the Big Dipper, a very familiar constellation, and the patch of sky was no bigger than a grain of sand held out at arm's length. This was a somewhat risky move by the scientists. After all, observing time on this telescope is in very high demand, and some questioned whether it would be wasted trying to look at nothing. There was a real risk that the images returned would be as black as the space at which it was being pointed. Nevertheless, they opened the telescope and slowly, over the course of 10 full days, photons that had been traveling for over 13 billion years finally ended their journey on the detector of humanity's most powerful telescope. Their feeble signals collected almost one by one.
when the telescope was finally closed and the images were processed, the light from over 3,000 galaxies had covered the detector, producing one of the most profound and humbling images in all of human history. Every single spot, smear, and dot was an entire galaxy, and each one containing hundreds of billions of stars. Later, in 2004, they did it again, this time pointing the telescope towards an area near the constellation Orion. They opened the shutter for over 11 days and 400 complete orbits around the Earth. Using detectors with increased sensitivity and filters that allow more light through than ever before, over 10,000 galaxies appeared in what became known as the Ultra Deep Field, an image that represented the farthest we've ever seen into the universe. The photons from these galaxies left when the universe was only 500 million years old. And 13 billion years later, began their long journey as a small blip on a telescope CCD. These galaxies, while standing absolutely still, are racing away from us, in some cases, faster than the speed of light. The space-time between us and everything else grows larger by the minute, pushing the galaxies in this image to a distance of over 47 billion light years. And because of universal expansion, the farther something is away from us, the more its light is shifted toward the red and the faster it appears to be moving. Edwin Hubble himself discovered this by measuring the redshift of many galaxies, and it's a measure of not only speed, but distance as well. Recently, Hubble's scientists put the icing on the cake. Using the measured redshifts of all the galaxies inside the image, they made a 3D model of the ultra-deep field. This is how it looks when we apply the distances of the galaxies in the most important image ever taken. There are over 100 billion galaxies in the universe. Simply saying that number doesn't really mean much to us because it doesn't provide any context. Our brains have no way to accurately put that in any meaningful perspective. When we look at this image, however, and think about the context of how it was made, and really understand what it means, we instantly gain the perspective and cannot help but be forever changed by it. We pointed the most powerful telescope ever built by human beings at absolutely nothing, for no other reason than because we were curious, and discovered that we occupy a very tiny place in the heavens.
Are thinking very narrowly, aren't we?
Yes.
That's the overwhelming feeling I had after looking at this. A very humbling feeling that we're thinking very, very narrowly. Is that what you're feeling?
Yeah.
Hmm? Does anybody else have anything they want to share just briefly about what they're feeling after seeing that?
We are not the center of the universe.
Well, from one perspective, that's very good. That's right. We'd be talking what about specialness and the ego, right? And I'm going to look at it another way too. There's two ways to look at it. But that's a good feeling to have, is to realize we're not special. Here's what overtook me when I saw it. Each one of you, at the narrowest of thought, at least have your own galaxy. At least. There's hundreds of billions of galaxies. And here we are on this little planet called Earth, bitching about the dirt. Yeah. That's how it overwhelmed me. Complaining about race and sex and politics and all of this bullshit. I'm sorry. And this is here. Look out. Look beyond where you're at. Look outside your world. Look outside your world that you're complaining about. And realize you're creating the very world that you're complaining about. You are creating it. There's no one responsible for the environment that they're in but you. So, from looking at it from another perspective, if we look at what Jesus told us, he said the kingdom, all of it, is within you. All of it. Everything you just saw has to dwell within you. Because without a watcher, without someone to observe and witness what we just saw, it would not exist. You are the origin. Corey was singing about, you are all and in all. And we can only grasp that, just like he was talking about in the video. We can't grasp these things with our minds. How can you grasp the fact that there's hundreds of billions of galaxies and they focused on spots that they thought didn't have anything? And look what they found. And within each galaxy, there are billions of stars. Those are suns, folks, with planets rotating around them. And for us to arrogantly think that this is it, and this little patch of dirt that we have is it, and we don't like it, I'm telling you, we're stuck. We're really stuck. In what? Judging by the appearances. We're not understanding the beginnings and the fathom of what it means to be eternal, immortal beings. What you are is never going to end. Where do you think you're going to be if you could even try to stack dominoes of time chunks on top of each other? It would be trillions of years from now before you'd ever realize it never had an end. But it never had a beginning. All of what we're seeing, and I know this is hard to get our minds around, but I want us to start thinking in a bigger picture than what our little plot of ground is we have, or our everyday problems that we complain about. I want you to realize how minuscule they are. That's what it does to me. That's what I feel when I see something like this. What am I complaining about? And we're going to talk more about some of what the sages talked about and Jesus and other people of truth. And we've got to really focus in on some things that'll be a little bit uncomfortable, but we've been singing about them tonight and they sounded beautiful. So that really helps me to sort of ease the blow a little bit. How can we know that what you just saw dwells within you? Because discovering who you are is discovering the divine self. There's no other. And it's you, surprise. Now, why are we surprised by that? Because a lot of times when we first start to understand this, we think that we're God. And I could play a little bit of George Carlin for you right now and all of us would be rolling on the floor about this idea of God. It's obnoxious, it's disgusting, And George gets up there, and I just love his dialogue. He says, well, there's this God up there. And he's got 10 special rules that you need to follow. And if you don't follow them, he probably will torture you forever. Probably. Forever and ever. But he loves you. And he needs money. I want to go farther with that, but look it up. It's hilarious. Look up his routine on YouTube on God. It's just hilarious. Now, if we would have watched that even 5 years ago, we all would have said it was heretical. Now, I'm going to tell you the one thing that overtook me when I started to ramp up my assault against God. Now, just saying that, doesn't it make you nervous? No. When I first started thinking about it, I was afraid. Why? It proved to me it was true. The very fact that I was afraid to say there's no God proved to me it's true. Why would I be afraid? What is it that makes me afraid? Because of all of our religious beliefs, all of the years that we've been taught that somebody's watching you. Well, if there's a God out there and he's watching you, what is he doing? What the hell's he doing? If he's watching you, is he not doing anything? If he's watching you, what is he doing? Wouldn't he be like judging you? If he was watching you, he'd have to be, wouldn't he? If he was watching you, he would have to be judging you. Have to be. Or he's worthless. He'd be worthless. It's amazing, isn't it? Some of the things we've believed and don't understand. What years from now, as we get over the shock of this, we're going to be just as surprised about all the other religious things we've thought that now we think are foolish. And that's why I'm sort of on a rampage to expunge using the word God in our language and how we communicate with each other, because it's a waste of time. And it's probably the main thing that is in your way and sets you back from finding out who you are. And you're sure as hell not God. I am God. Well, that sounds pretty arrogant, doesn't it? And it would to anyone. So why would you say that? Because it's not true. You're not God. God represents control. It always has, and it always will. And Dean, if anybody's gotten a dose of Dean Dosher, if you can handle him, that's what I tell people that are really suffering. I give them a script and I say, here's a script to listen to Dean Dosher for 60 days and call me back. If you can handle that and understand what he's talking about, he's saying the birth of a God came from your unfulfilled desire. That's where it began. Religion began in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't the creation of the world we're walking on. It was the creation of religion. And I like what Dean said. He said, in the beginning, God, and all hell broke loose. Yeah. Now, I don't want to belittle people or make fun of people. I want those of you who are listening to realize that any kind of a concept that you have of God is blocking your ability to know yourself. And you're not a God that's supposed to rule over anyone or control anything. That's why using the word God is arrogant and it's not true. You are omnipresent love. That's what you are. And that omnipresent love is within everyone that walks on the face of the earth. There's nothing they can do about it. That's who you are. It has nothing to do with what you do. You can't change who you are by behavior. And that's why there's no God out there watching the world and ready to bring an end to the world and set it on fire and destroy it in an earthquake. That's why. Because all he can see is himself. Now, when you get in line with that and all you can see is yourself, this omnipresent love, and realize that that's in your neighbor, when they go up and create a bunch of problems, you can see through it now. You can realize, I'm here to see through this for them. And you're ready to express that love that you are to that love that they are. Now, they might not be ready to share that with you, but what does it say? Are you just going to love those that are nice to you? Is that love? We know that's not love, is it? Are we going to love those that treat us fairly? Is that all we're going to do? Even the lost do that. So we're really starting to get home now with this. The belief, the belief in any kind of deity outside yourself keeps you from knowing who you are. There's nothing controlling you. There's nothing watching you. There is something that is you. Hello, with a wink. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Full stop. When you get in line with that, you will stop trying to control things in the world. You'll realize that everything that goes in front of you is exactly where it's supposed to be today. And it's not supposed to be somewhere else. You've just got to get somewhere else with your mind. That's all that's got to happen. Get your mind in line with who you are. By what? Understanding all of the language and all of the problems we've talked about that's caused separation. By realizing you're not special. As soon as somebody goes through turmoil and trouble, they crack open the book of Job and say, woe is me. You know, look at what I've been through. And I mean, I've sat in groups sometimes when we've all talked about our problems and the other person sitting across from me on the couch can't wait to shut up so they can tell me about theirs, because theirs was worse. And none of it means anything. It just means you're special. And we're not special. We're unique within what God is. We're all manifestations of Him. There's no separation there. There's no hypocrisy. There's no partiality. And when we get in line with that, we realize that it brings gentleness and peace. That's James 4:17. Perfect wisdom first brings gentleness and peace. It's without hypocrisy. It's without partiality. Beautiful, isn't it? It doesn't matter what you do. Now, when love gets a hold of you, you realize it's sort of all natural to behave lovingly, because that's what you are. You don't have to try anymore. You realize, this really is who I am. And it feels sort of good to be kind and to not kick the dog and not bitch about my brother or my uncle or my mom. It feels sort of good. Because when those things go out, they come back with equal force. This is where we create our environment of hell and destruction. It comes from us, not from anyone else. It doesn't come from anywhere. You can't blame anybody. It all comes from our wrong way of thinking. So, the discovery of the kingdom that's within you is not circumstantial. It can't be. It has nothing to do with circumstances in your life. If all hell breaks loose, we have a suspicion in the back of our mind that a black cloud is forming and somebody's watching us. Let's be honest. Hello? When snot hits the fan, that feeling starts to come around you and you think something's wrong. It's not true. What's wrong? Our judgment of what's happening is the only thing that's wrong. And so, as things come to us in life, be thankful for when they come and be thankful for when they go in all things. Don't try to control them. Don't complain about them as if some strange thing is overtaking you and you're special. Okay? There's two sides of that specialness, isn't there? I remember Robert was talking to me. We can joke about this because we all agreed. Dean and I and Robert all lost a dog within a week, and Robert said there must be some kind of pattern. And it feels that way, doesn't it? But it's not. There's not something wrong with you because your dog left too. Is there? It didn't change who you are, but it feels strange, doesn't it? Those are the things we need to start realizing so that what? We can escape the world and all of its judgment. The only thing wrong with the world is our judgment of the world. That's the only thing that's wrong. Now you take millions of people and pack them in somewhere and you get all of their energy going where they're all building their environments of right and wrong, and guess what you've got? Well, you start out having a church, right? And then it might turn into a larger group. Maybe we'll call it the Catholic Church in Rome, and it usually ends up in war, doesn't it? Why? Because they've all got one thing in common. They've got a God of reward and punishment. That's why. And it's time that we leave that concept. I love what our dear brother Gary wrote on Facebook, and I've been talking about it a lot. And he wrote it so eloquently and beautifully, saying the same thing. It was a lot more palatable, because he's more refined than I am. But he was saying the same thing. Now, people were bitching at me about what I said, but when he said it, they said, "That's so beautiful." And he said the same thing I did. Yeah. But the way he put it was more eloquent. Thank you, Gary. It was beautiful. I appreciate that. You could be my translator. Some people wrote me and he said, "Why do you have to swear so much? Why can't you talk like Gary?" And I said, "Well, because I'm not Gary." So, who are you? What are you? Who are you? Do we really know who we are? When you get done talking about this God that's outside you, you spent your whole life worshiping. Now what are you going to do? He's gone. We finally agreed that he's not there. And keep going, listen, rewind George Carlin if you have to help you, okay? And lightning won't strike you if you play it too many times. I promise you, okay? Because I tried it. What are you going to do if you don't have a God that's watching you? Oh my gosh. Isn't that something to think about? What are you going to do? You're going to start to discover yourself. You're going to start to realize that the core, the origin of the universe that we just watched on the TV begins inside you.
It's already there. You don't have to create anything. Except what? The right kind of environment. That's all. Just create an environment of love, and it's going to be all natural. It's not going to be something you have to work at because of why. It's what you are. It's not what you do. And when you realize that, you'll stop worrying about and thinking about what you do. Even if you kick the dog, trust who you are. It'll start to go away. I'm promising you it will. How many times you got to kick the dog before you realize it doesn't matter? And then when you realize, I'm wasting my time and my toe hurts, you'll quit doing it. Right? In Timothy it says, it's the kindness that teaches us to say no. It's overwhelming kindness and love that teaches us to say no. Well, that's going to take a little while for that to sink in, doesn't it? This isn't going to happen overnight. Give yourself a break. It's okay if your dog's gone. We'll get you another one. Right? And I know it's sort of sad and it hurts. I'm not trying to say that's not important. But what I'm saying is we're not special. And there's two sides to look at that, isn't there? There's the negative side. It sort of is condemning, isn't there? Right? Am I right, brother? Am I honest, brother? Are those things there? It's so sad that we've got to realize we still have some sense of reward and punishment, don't we? There's still some of it there. How are we going to escape it if we don't be honest about it? We have to be honest about it and not think, well, I'm special. I shouldn't know. It shouldn't happen to me because I know some shit. Right? I know some good spiritual shit. I do. But my dog died. Was my dog not supposed to die? Is he supposed to be immortal? Huh? Come on now. You see how silly we are? And you see how far we have to go to get in line with who we really are. It really, just think how silly some of the things we are are in our lives, and they shouldn't be there. That's what this video does to me. It makes me think how narrow-minded I am about my place here on this little patch of dirt. We all compare ourselves with each other. Well, he's got this, and he's rich, and he's not. Buddy, you're going to have your own galaxy someday. That's what I'm telling you. I believe that. I really believe that. If that's what you want. Do we really, are we really so narrow-minded that we think nobody is out there on one of those planets somewhere? Are we really going to go back and think that the universe was created in Genesis when it's talking about when religion was formed? Is that what we're going to do? All of science shows this. And I'll tell you what I believe. This earth has never not been here. Because anything that's come out of divine love in the Father never had a beginning. We think everything had to start somewhere, but the only thing that's ever started somewhere is our illusion about who we are. That's what the Genesis is all about. It's us forming a God in our mind and then wanting to control the world. That's what happened there. It's coming out in other places. I think I've talked with Gary about this a little bit. This, what I've said, isn't new. I'm the first one that thought about what I'm telling you. But it's amazing, it's refreshing, and it really excites me to find out how deluded I was. That's exciting to me. Do you know why? I don't want any of that stuff in my life anymore. And I don't want you to have it in your life. Right? Dean says all the time, find your honesty. Find your honesty. It's okay. It's not going to change who you are. It won't change it, I promise you. It's okay to raise your hand and say, I believe that bullshit, Mike. Amen, brother. It's okay. It really is okay. It doesn't change who you are. It doesn't mean you're some lowlife pagan heathen. It means you're honest. And maybe you're going to find your way out. That's what it means. And we all talk about how I knew that stuff. And, you know, I just forgot to remember. Well, if something came to you that was truth and it changed who you are, you'd never forget it. I'm promising you right now, you'll never forget it. There's things that have happened to me and I felt a door shut behind me and I knew it could never be opened again. Many, many, many times. You can call it many lives, that's fine. If you want to go there, you've lived many lives here in this lifetime. That's where I'd rather talk about. Because I know I'm not the person I was 20 years ago. I'm here to tell you right now. I don't think about 90% of what I thought about 20 years ago.
That's true.
Does that mean I'm special? It means I'm free. That's what it means. It means more and more stuff have disappeared that's freed me to be who I am without worry. That's eternal life, knowing that it has no end. Isn't that beautiful? It has no end. So, you are the divine. There is absolutely nothing outside you. You are more than you could ever understand with your mind. Let it teach you who you are. Let it teach you, because that's the only way it can come. It wakes me up in the middle of the night and starts teaching me with my own voice. And it sounds just like a God, but it's me. And it's friendly, and it's kind, and it's loving, and it's saying, you know something? You've just begun to discover the wonder of what I am, and it's never going to end. The wonder of it will never, ever end. When I see something like what I showed you, what I see is something that has no end. That has no limits, that's spaceless and timeless. They shot the telescope at an empty hole. And look, they found 3,000 galaxies where each galaxy has billions of solar systems in a black hole. Now, come on, don't you think one of those has got your name on it? Come on, work with me, would you, a little bit? Could I get some amens? Huh? Why not? What would be wrong with that? Wouldn't that be beautiful?
Absolutely.
Here we're thinking that, you know, well, my plot of ground isn't as nice as the neighbor's, and it sort of stinks here. I'm next to a paper mill or a hog farm, or... And you got a whole damn galaxy somewhere you can work with.
Mormons just see one way.
Yeah. Now, listen. Can we just imagine that for a little bit? It's just sort of fun, isn't it? Huh? To think of that. But that's what I thought when I watched this. I thought, man, we're sitting here crying over spilt milk all the time. Something's not right, you know? All hell's breaking loose right here in River City. And do we ever escape that kind of mentality? How many days do we go? How are we ever going to get our feet off the dirt and look up and realize there might be a galaxy out there that's got thousands of rivers and lakes that are all yours? But if you were there by yourself, you'd be lonely, wouldn't you? Huh? Can we love our neighbor as ourselves and realize that's the beginning of what eternal life is? Love them as yourself, not as what they appear to be to you. Ready? Love them the way you're known, the way you see yourself. And it will dissolve all of the complaining. It will, listen folks, I'm telling you, this works. I'm doing this. I'm finding this. I'm finding the magic of the kingdom. And it's not controlling anything. The only thing it's doing is it's eliminating my judgment of the appearances. And I can go along for the ride and realize everything is well. Everything is well. And there's no me that something can happen to someone. There's this person that I think stuff can happen to isn't even real. It's not really me. It's the divine all in all. You can't ever be in the wrong. How could omnipresent love ever be in the wrong place if that's you? Does anyone here believe they're not omnipresent love? Does anybody have a problem with that? Well, how could you go anywhere where it's not then? Wherever you go, you take it with you. But it doesn't do any good if you don't see it, does it? Right? It's not working if you forget to remember, I'm omnipresent love. You can act like a jackass all day and it won't bother me. I'm telling you now, this works. Now sometimes you can maybe get a little ruffled and you just wait. But listen, something just happened the other day. Every time I get ready for these meetings, shit hits the fan. I'm telling you right now. And I've learned more and more and more to smile and to realize there's something right behind what looks like a pile of shit. And it's beautiful. And it happens. I don't know how else to describe it. What should I call it? Dung that doesn't stink? Help me. What else should I call it? Stuff? Stuff. Dung that makes the flowers bloom. Listen, shit hits the fan. That's all I'm telling you. I don't know how else to tell you. I'm not sophisticated enough to come up with another name for you. Forgive me. I'm sorry, okay? It just shit hits the fan. And I go, okay, it must be, this is really gonna be good. That's all I can say to myself. And guess what? As soon as I say that, my judgment of it's gone. Whatever's coming to me is everything that comes to us is for us. We've been saying that for years now, haven't we, Gary? Everything that comes to you is a gift for you. It's not there to harm you. Everything. When you can start to see that, it takes the sting out of all the activity in this world. And listen, you can absorb this in your life. You can. You don't have to try. It just will happen on its own. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And as I become closer and closer to it, of course, my brother is so famous in all of these meetings. He's the most famous person there is. Isn't that something? He behaves worse of anyone I know, and he's the most famous. Because I remember Karen saying in the Cuckoo restaurant, Yubrana Shaticha, my guru. Yubrana Shaticha. And it took it all away. That's how I started to see it. My brother's my teacher. And it disappeared. I remember when I used to believe that there was a literal devil. Oh, it's getting quiet. There was really a devil out there. I need George Carlin. Where is he when you need him? I used to believe there was a devil out there. A real being with a pitchfork and ears and stuff. And we read Pigs in the Parlor. We studied it relentlessly when I was married to my wife. Now I say this for a reason, so stay with me. When we stopped believing in that stuff, guess what happened? It all disappeared. All of it. Isn't that amazing? All of it disappeared. I don't get nervous when I hear a noise outside the door at night anymore. I don't. I know there's nothing that can harm me. And I smile. There's nothing that can harm me. Jesus said that all the time. Don't fear for what any man can do to you. Don't be afraid. Fear not, I'm with you. There's nothing that can happen to you, even what you might think is death, that can harm the real you. Nothing. Now we need to get a big revelation of what eternal life is, folks. Because we go around all the time thinking we could die. And I'm telling you, you can't die. Not if you know you're the divine self. How could the divine self ever die? It's impossible. So what do you need to do? Get in line with the fact that you are the divine self. And in that understanding, everything's in order. Nothing's out of order. Now, we're sitting here, and a lot of us maybe haven't heard it very much, or there's some people out there that aren't used to it. And it's very difficult for us to understand what I'm sharing with you with the five senses. Corey sung about it a little bit tonight. We've talked about that in past meetings, that it's impossible for any man to see God. No man has seen God at any time. Well, guess what? Because there's no one out there. No one's home. That's why. That's real simple, isn't it? There's nothing out there. No man can experience what it's like to be the divine. Because why? Because I've done a lot of bad shit in my past that I remember. I haven't forgot it yet. Well, even the God of Christianity has supposedly forgot all your past sins, hasn't he? And here we're still really flirting with that idea that you might be a bad person. We need to escape the insanity of living a life that and believing that we're a body and a mind. Your mind is not in control. It thinks it is. The mind thinks it's in control. It's not in control. You are the divine self. You're not a mind. You don't have to believe what your mind tells you day after day after day. Do you know why? The mind of man is the serpent. It is the accuser. It spins and spins and spins and spins with ideas and after idea, telling you you're no good, telling you who you're with did this or that. That's why nobody can stay together, because there's always something wrong. We need a revelation of what we really are. The humble sage Rumi said, "Everything in the universe is within you. Why do you weep?" You are the one that has always been and will always be. See yourself that way. Just believe it. See yourself that way. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. The only reason you feel sorry for yourself is because you think of the past and the future. Hello, didn't I just say that? Isn't that what I just said? The only reason you feel sorry for yourself is because of your memories. And we're projecting it out into the future. And thinking somehow we just have to overcome all those things we've done. If you would only stop thinking, full stop, about your unfulfilled desires for a while, all of your sorrows would end. Life flows through all that is, and you are that life that flows through it. This is why the universe must begin within your kingdom. You are the very life that creates all. It's you. Why do you weep? You have all things for life. Why do you weep? You've already got it all. But somehow our mind gets bundled up in one little thing here or there, and we think very strangely, don't we? We get hung up on the one thing. So, of course, there's a lot of funny business going on in the world today. We know that. We can't seem to not comment about it. Millions of people get up each day and create an environment for themselves of hell and destruction in their minds. It all comes from the mind. And it's theirs. They own it. So, Gary, here comes the little bomb. Are you ready? The world that we know in our mind is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is the tree. It wasn't some little tree tucked away in a garden somewhere by three rivers. The world we know in our mind is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now I'm going to read you a verse that says it. For all that is in the world, the lust and desire of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. It says all of it. Now, how do we get around, how do we embrace that truth? We have to understand that our problem is our judgment of the world, isn't it? That's the problem. It's our judgment of the world. We're going around trying to create peace in the middle of hell and destruction and complaining to others around us, why is it this way? Why do we have this problem? Woe is me. What you need to do is get an understanding of who you are. Now, Mahara, now listen, if you want to read, any of you out here big readers? Big readers? There is a book, I'm going to tell you, and I don't say this very often, because I'm not a big book fan. There is a book, if you write it down, enter the word Mahara, M-A-H-A-R-A-J. And next to it, put a space and put, I am that. It's the name of the book. It's called I Am That by Mahara. It's 140 pages long. I have meditated and studied it and scratched it up and scribbled and made notes and tore it apart and sneezed on it. And I'm telling you, it's the best writing I've ever found. Bar none. And it has literally transformed my understanding of reality. Now, I don't want to take away from the holy scriptures. We're not trying to compete, okay? But there's just a lot more clarity, guys. It complements a lot of things that are in scripture, especially if you look at Jesus' writings, okay? you're not going to be able to make any sense of the Jews and the Hebrews bitching about a God of reward and punishment in the Old Testament. So why do you go there? Because that's what it's about. There are so, so many holy writings that were around long before the canon of Scripture that are beautiful. They're beautiful, beautiful writings. They have they all focus on unconditional love. All of them focus on and bring you back to a sense of unconditional love. Every one of them. And in this book I just gave you a name of, there's almost no mention of a God. Can you believe that? Shocking, isn't it? Almost no mention. Now, Maharis says, the world which you live in has not been projected on you, but by you. The world you live in has not been projected on you, but by you. How do you see your world when you get up every day? What do you see? You complaining? My wife and I, months ago, just decided we're just not going to watch the news anymore. Because I really don't care about anything that's on there. And it's not helping me. It's not helping us enjoy each other and love each other more at all. The only thing that's on there is stuff that you would fight about. Politics, somebody did this, somebody shot that. It's just, and it's not my world. It's not. Now all of these people are going to teach you to leave the world and quit judging the world and quit taking it unto your own. You don't need to have a cause. You need to know yourself. And that's the best thing you can do for the world, is for to you to know yourself. That's the best thing you can do. And when somebody comes to you and they have a sense of understanding of who you are, they'll feel it. And they might ask you, what is this strange thing? And you'll be ready to tell them. Now listen to me. We can play games with what I'm telling you today. In our mind, we can say, I'm not sure if this is true. But listen, I'm not giving you an option here, folks. This isn't talking about whether this is debatable or not. I'm telling you, you are omnipresent love, and there's nothing you can do about it. There isn't. And you can fight it all you want. You can go back, you can get with the people that believe in reincarnation, and you're going to keep having to come back and regurgitate this over and over and over again, if that's what you think. Go ahead, that's okay. But just the fact that that kind of baloney, thinking that way, could stop, because even the people that believe in reincarnation say, well, someday you'll escape karma, and there won't be any more reincarnation. It'll happen someday. Well, guess what? Then the day's today, isn't it? Then today's the day that it stops. That's what I'm telling you. It stops today. Because what? You no longer believe it's true. That's why. We don't live in these world of games where you've got to pay penance and suffer and torture yourself in more and more lifetimes because you were prejudiced or because you didn't like something. That's torment. That's punishment. Where does all that nonsense come from? From our minds. Just from our minds. There's nothing out there that's going to torment you or torture you because you might not have thought the right way one day. Instantly, you're back where you need to be by realizing, I am divine love. Full stop. There's nothing I can do about that. And I don't have to do anything about it. Now that's good news. Every day when you get up, just say, I am omnipresent love. Today, I'm going to be what I am. Today, I'm going to be that. I know that, and I'm going to be that. And you might slip a little bit. It's okay. It's all right. Nobody's judging you but you. You're the only one watching yourself. Just get up and dust it off and say, this is who I am. And today, it's going to be different. And what has to change? Just your mind. You can't change who you are. Now that is good news, isn't it? I love that. I'm excited about that. Nothing anybody can say to me changes who I am. Nothing. Now, you have to think likewise about your neighbor and about the world. Do you want to take on all the cares of the world into yourself and have it steal away the joy of your reward? Because that's what it does. Go ahead. Turn on the TV. Bring it all in there. What are you going to do about it? I had some guy come up to me and say, did you hear about what's going on over in Jordan? The Muslims are over there killing Christians. And I'm going, what am I going to do about it?
Pray.
Am I going to get my gun and run over there and pick off a couple of them and come back and say, hurrah, I won? Really? I'm telling you, what you do, you leave your world. It's not your world, folks. You're not creating that environment, nor are you responsible for it. Leave it. Work and manage. We get all caught up in all that stuff, and we come home and we kick our own dog and smack our wife. That's what happens. That's not success, people. Is it? I guess we're all going to be hippies because we're just going to love the one we're with. Right? And if that means rolling up a doobie, have at it. I'm okay with that. If that's what you got to do to be calm, smoke them up. Whatever it takes. When the world began, you forgot the divine self, Mahara says. To know the divine self, you must forget the world. That's a mouthful, isn't it? The search for reality is the most dangerous of all undertakings, for it destroys the world for which you live. One of the most important factors in understanding reality is realizing and accepting truth cannot be found in this world. How many times did Jesus say that? Why does that seem strange to us to hear those words? What did Jesus say over and over again? The kingdom does not come by observation. Where did he say the kingdom was? Within. It's not without. Stop judging the world. The only thing the world needs saved from is our judgment. That's all it needs. So, he continues, we are projecting our world with our own mind, and then we're complaining about it. That really hurts. Huh? I feel like Red Fox in a Sanford and Sons episode. We are projecting our world with our own mind. We talked about it a lot. We're projecting the world with our five senses. We think a corporeal world is real, and we run around like rats trying to manage it. We don't know who we are. Withdraw from the battle. Withdraw from the fight and find out the reality of who you are. So we're projecting our world with our own mind, and then we're complaining about it. I'll tell you what, that one sentence right there really spoke to me, really humbled me. And I felt the same feeling when I saw this. What am I complaining about? down here on this little speck of dirt. When I can look up and see, wow, the majesty and the wonder and the glory of the universe, and know that it's all mine, all of it. And we're going to have a long time to figure that out. Did you know that? It's going to take, it's not going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. It's already yours. When we can get past the complaining and the projecting of our own world, we'll begin to see the wonder of what we are. And quit comparing ourselves and being competitive. When they use the word specialness, they always use with it the word competition. I read it today as Diane was driving me down here to this beautiful place. They kept talking about when you're special, you're always competing. When you think you're special, you try to race to get to the front of the line. It's like driving a car down the highway. We think we're in the front of the line, and we find out we're just at the back of another line.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Just slow down and enjoy the ride. That's what I say. I'm starting to do that more now. I'm having a lot more peace riding around in my car. I want to tell you, we've had talk about a lot of history. We've talked about a lot that's gone on in the world and in the history and our past. People throw out the words, they talk about the president, and they talk about the government, and we talk about this person and that person who was so horrible, Stalin, Hitler, you hear all those words? I want to give you some relief. The real you does not care about any of this. Nor does it see it. How could it care about it if it doesn't even see it? All it sees is itself. All it sees is omnipresent love. That's why there's no help out there in this world of appearances. It doesn't see it. Guess what? It's you. The real you doesn't see it. It's only the five senses in the mind that have all the cares for the world. That's where it comes from. We've had beautiful images showing who we really are over the last two retreats. One saying, this is what you think you are. And over here it says what you really are. The person that you really are doesn't see the world of judgment and torment and hell. Doesn't see any of it. And we think with our mind that we're being reckless and we're not being compassionate and we're not being caring, but that's not true at all. It's the most caring thing you can do is withdraw your judgment from the world. And why would you want to be embroiled with 2,000-year-old history? Or 60-year-old history? What are you trying to prove? Really? When you have no history. Do you have a history? Everything that's happened 5 minutes ago is gone. When can we live in the moment? And I know sometimes this has a feeling because you go back and say, man, Mike, I'm struggling with that. And I'm complaining about this, and I'm seeing this problem and that problem, and I don't like this president, and I'm going to vote for that one, and I don't like this government, and over here in this world they're doing that. And Jesus said, I'm going to leave the world now and go to the Father. Well, that's too much. That's what he said. I'm going to leave the world now and go to the Father. Can I? Would you let me do that? Huh? That's what he kept saying over and over and over again. I'm going to leave my world and return to the Father. Well, what's your world look like? Answer it. Write it down. What's your world look like? Is it a mess? Is there a lot of things to fix? Is there a lot of things that need to be changed? You are projecting that by your belief system. It's a heavy weight to carry. It really is. And you don't have to. You can just let it go. You can enjoy today. Come into the rest of the throne of your Father today. Just be at rest. It's okay. You're okay to find out that you are all that there is. Wow. Bruce says this all the time. You are eternal love that is all and in all. How could you ever be in the wrong place? The only way you can be in the wrong place is in your mind. That's the only thing that condemns you. It's no one else. I'm certainly not condemning you. I love every one of you. And I don't want to know about your history. To be honest with you, I'm not interested in it. I see you for who you are today. That's a wonderful, beautiful essence of love. And I picture you having a name on your galaxy. Love wants to give you that. Can I tell you that right now? And guess what? There's enough. We don't even have to compete. You might get two. Now just go with me, would you? I know we're not there in consciousness, but it's beautiful just to think about it for a little bit, isn't it? Isn't it? Wasn't that amazing? Well, how could that be amazing to us if we didn't think at some level it's not real? Because that's what we're perceiving. It's beautiful. It's wonderful to think, maybe I could just have my own son with one little planet, with a couple of brushes and a rose bush, with a tiny little moon. That's all. But there could be a whole solar system with many planets and lots of rose bushes. Huh? Just dream with me a little bit, would you? Can you work with me? I think it's a wonderful feeling. If nothing else, it's just a wonderful feeling. And that's how I feel when I see that. That's just how I feel. I can't really explain it, and I certainly can't promise you a galaxy of your own. But I know if I had one, I'd give it to you. How's that sound? Wouldn't that be nice? I would love to give you your own galaxy. Amen. Okay? All right, we're almost done. I want to share with you the revelation of perfect love. It says, perfect love casts out all fear. Isn't that beautiful? Perfect love casts out all fear. As long as you have an outside God, you're still under the law. I'm telling you right now, at some level, there has to be some degree of law attached with that feeling. Okay? At some level. If you think there's something outside watching you, okay? There has to be some rules about it, doesn't there? I mean, really, we've entertained the concept, certainly, that there's an outside God. I loved when I met Robert for the first time, he called it the grandpa in the sky. He said, there's no grandpa in the sky watching you. Well, hello, full stop. Let's stop it then. Let's stop all the nonsense, okay? Why would we consider praying to a grandpa in the sky that's judging you? Really? Has that really helped you? Well, all I'm saying is, let's just cut it all off. That's all. I'm just saying, let's cut it off, okay? It's went on long enough. And I think Gary and Robert will certainly agree with me that there's been quite a change in that understanding over the last 6-7 months, don't you think? Yeah, we've turned the heat up on this guy, is what I've done. I said, okay, that's enough. That's what I've said. I've had enough. And so I'm out there turning the flames up on this God, you know. I'm chasing him with the flamethrower. I'm saying, sorry, you're not real. And that's what we're doing. So I want to share with you a passage of scripture that will help you. And I found an interesting passage in Psalms that David wrote that was very interesting when I read it. And I just, for entertainment purposes, I want to read it to you, just to add a little humor to your life. He said, I'm afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about altogether. Who do you think he's talking about? This God of reward and punishment. Hello? Does that sound like love to you? Does it sound like peace? How about some joy? Hello? None of the above. So now, I want to talk to you about the revelation that we began in Georgia last year when we said, there's only love, there's nothing but love, and you can't do anything about it. You can try. You can try as hard. You can all get up here and ignore everything I've said. But listen, you're going to be dragging your love around forever. So why don't you get in line with it? You might as well start today, because it's going to happen. You've got no choice. You can't change who you are. Now, we think that means we got to be nice and we got to be in this eternal petting zoo and just be kind all the time. And that's not what love is. Love is who you are. It's not what you do. Now, you might start petting sheep and donkeys and things like that more. Okay? That might happen. But it doesn't change who you are, does it? Huh? It's okay to pet a donkey. I called my favorite football team the Donkeys for years till they won the Super Bowl this year. Now I call them Broncos. But they used to be Donkeys when they lost the games, okay? Everybody call, well, the Donkeys lost another one, you know? So, I hope you all that know me and are with us will trust me when I tell you that I've went in and translated and transcribed a passage of scripture, and I'm pretty sure I've done it correctly. And I want to tell you how I did it correctly. And when I do read passages of scripture, what I've discovered is there's usually a key somewhere in that passage that will unlock the whole meaning of that passage for you. And I want to tell you that passages of scripture never mean the same thing all the time. The story can be used in many different ways as long as the motive is pure. And one of the first times I really understood this is when this dear brother taught with us up at my house. And he went in and used a passage of scripture and said, now this is what I'm seeing with it, and I never heard anything so beautiful. How could it have been wrong? It was gorgeous. It was beautiful. And the motive was pure. Who really cares? So now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you in closing 1 John 4, 4 through 18. And it'd probably be better if you didn't crack your Bible open. Okay? It would probably work better if you just listened to me. Because it's not going to line up. And I hope you won't throw it at me when you find out it doesn't line up. Okay? But this is what I am going to do. Which you'll find many of us that have been in Bible school or studied, we learned our proper exegesis of Scripture, right? So,
I did that so that hopefully I won't get burned at the stake for what I'm about to do. But what I did is I translated the passage of 1 John 4, 4 through 18 by using the very last key verse, which is, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Some fear. All fear. Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Little children, you have had an outside God your whole life. But now you've overcome this perception. Why? Because greater is the love that is in you than any God that was ever in the world. Those that have an outside God are of the world. Therefore, they always speak of the world. And the world can only heareth them. But we are of the pure spirit of love. He that knoweth love really heareth us. He that is not of love heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is what you are. And everyone that loveth is born of perfection and knoweth perfect love. He that loveth not knoweth not perfect love. This outside God we believed in knew nothing about love. So now perfect love was manifested towards us, because that love sent its only begotten Son into the world that we might live through his understanding about real love. Herein is love. He had nothing to do with loving an outside God. Matter of fact, as God forsook him on the cross. But perfect love has overtaken us and sent the sacrifice of love to bring right understanding to us. Beloved, we had thought this outside God so loved us, but we never loved one another. Boy, isn't that so true? We thought this outside God loved us, but we never loved one another. No man has seen this outside God at any time, but when we find perfect love for one another, love completely dwelleth in us, and true love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in love, and love in us, because love hath given us the Spirit. We have seen and do testify that the Father of light sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of love, love dwelleth in him, and he in love. And we have known and believed that love that hath overtaken us. Love is all there is. And he that dwelleth in this love dwelleth in perfection, and perfection in him. Therein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as love is, so are we in this world. Now, everything I just shared with you came from a right understanding of what love is. There's no way it could be wrong. Thank you so much, guys, for being here. I love you all because I know you're myself. I really do know that. And that's why I love you, and I want to encourage you to find who you really are. And so tomorrow, we'll be here and hear more about this at 9:30. And I'll let Robert, you want to come up and close, or are we done?
We're done. Breakfast at 8:30.
Breakfast at 8:30. Thank you.
Coffee and whatnot, we'll fellowship for a little while.
Thank you all that's with us out at Ustream Land. We'll see you tomorrow at 9:30. Goodbye.